Let's all say amen. Amen. And the reason that we're here is because we know that our Redeemer lives. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And our Redeemer has commanded that we do what we're doing this morning, mm-hmm. and that we worship him in spirit and in truth. We find in the Bible in Acts 2:42 where Luke wrote on the first occasion when they worshiped God. In verse 42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. So we find that we'll study this morning teaching from the word of God. Also, fellowship means the word means sharing, where I share with the Lord what the Lord has blessed me with. Also, we've communed with the Lord in the breaking of bread. We took the Lord's Supper. Our mind should go back to the fact that Christ gave his life for us, for the sins that we have done. He died on that cross, and then we prayed. And then in verse number 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we are to sing, praise God. And I think as I was sharing with someone this morning, when we assemble, we are the choir. We don't have a choir singing for us. We are the choir. God is the one, that is entertained by our worshiping him, but we are participants in worship. So we praise God with the fruit of our lips. We don't have instruments up here. We praise God. We are that congregational choir that sings to God, thanking God for what God has done for us. Amen?
Amen.
And then if there's someone here this morning, as we've had recently on several weeks, Sunday, we want you to know that we want you to be added to the Lord's church. Amen? No one is saved from their sins until they are when they are of the age of accountability. Let me share that. No one is saved from their sins when I'm at the age of accountability. I know right from wrong, and I sin. The initial way that I remove my sins, and I said this at the close, I have to be water baptized for the remission of my sins. And when I do what God has commanded, the Lord then, not man, the Lord adds you to the church. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So I want to just share that with my. We are here. I like to just start to put my mindset, and hopefully your mindset is that we are here to worship God on this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And so we find our subject title this morning. We are studying in the book of Titus, and we're concluding with what is called the second chapter of Titus. And so we want to speak from the subject this morning. Paul said to Titus, and he was telling him to share with the congregation in Crete, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Yeah, and I want you to keep that thought as we go through this message this morning. That, again, the subject title is, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And I want to say that because some of us, we go through stuff. And we have challenges in life. We have issues in life. We have problems in life. But the subject is we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So in Titus chapter 2, I say verse number 9, but I want to preference this by setting this up, that we understand when I get to Titus 2 and 9 that you understand what verse 9 is actually saying to those individuals that were Christians then. In Exodus 21 and verse number 2, the Bible records in Exodus, Moses said, if thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing. Slavery existed during early biblical times. An enslaved person was treated as property that could be bought, sold, or given away. The Word of God is designed to equip the Christian to properly deal with any situation that they may be faced with. Yeah, because these individuals we're going to talk about now, they were slaves. They were slaves. And that meant that they were property by someone else. And they were Christians, but they were slaves. And so Paul, in writing to Titus, said, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Yeah, Paul said, the word servant in the text means slave. So Paul said to Titus, let the slaves know that they were to be obedient to their own masters and to please them in well in all things. The Christian slave was commanded by God to be faithful and obedient to their masters. Yeah. And that word, not answering again, means that you don't talk back. Yeah. Slaves were also not to display a resentful behavior toward their masters. Yeah. Brother Stroud, well, how does that apply to 2023, November the 12th? Well, those of us that are employed by somebody, yeah, we are the employee and they are the employer. Yeah. God is saying to us that when we go to work, we ought to be faithful and obedient to those in whom we are employed by. Amen, somebody. Yeah, yeah. So Paul was saying to those that were slaves, that meant that they belonged to their masters. In other words, their masters had uncontrolled power over them to sell them, to buy them, to give them away, to do what they want. But in that process, God said to the Christian, you are still to be faithful and obedient. Yeah, yeah. What if my boss man? Doesn't matter. What if they don't treat me right? Does not matter. Yeah. Well, what if they tell me to do something that the Bible don't say? Well, now you got a case. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. Let me share this with us. Yeah. When I go to work, am I allowed not to do what my boss tells me to do? Yeah. When am I, according to God, am I allowed not to? In Acts chapter 5, in verse number 29, the Apostle Peter made this statement. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The only time I am given the privilege to not do what my boss commands me to do is when he asks me to do something that violates the will of God. Outside of that, you know, Christians ought to be the best employers on the job.
Right.
I should be there on time. I shouldn't leave early. And if I have a lunchtime, I need to stay within that confines. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't take, why? Because, and Paul has shared this in the text, that we are, again, in this case, these individuals were slaves to their masters. And Paul said to Titus, let them know they are to please their masters in everything. Mm. Yeah. So when I go to work, Brother Stroud, I didn't know that. Now you do. Yeah, now you do. As we learn better, we ought to. Yeah. If I'm still working, I'm still employed. This scenario, employer and employee, is the concept that Paul made in verse 9. But again, these individuals was not employed. They wasn't getting paid. They wasn't getting paid. They were owned by somebody, and they worked for that person. They weren't taking no check home. But now notice what he said along with that. Because sometimes some of those slaves will have responsibilities and have items with them. He says, not purloin, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. The word purloin means to take something that does not belong to you. That's called stealing. Yeah. So on my job, we ought not be taking nothing from our jobs with us because it belongs to the job. So Paul shared with them, Titus, share with those individuals that are slaves. Understand, they may have tools and property, but they were not to take that property. They ought to show the word fidelity means faithfulness to their masters. Yeah, stealing is a sin. Taking something that don't belong to you is wrong. Yeah, Paul said, notice what he says here in the text. He says that they may adorn. That's like an ornament that you're wearing. That we wear the teachings of God, our Savior, in everything. A Christian's character can have an influence on the life of other people. You know, sometimes when you carry yourself a certain way, people sometimes, they'll come up to you every now and then, people come and say, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Yeah, what you got? Are you a Christian? They ask you that because they're watching you. When you carry yourself a certain way, when you're not telling dirty jokes, when you're not cussing, when you're not getting into foolishness, and you carry yourself some way, people will ask you sometimes, excuse me, where do you go to church? Where do you worship? Are you a Christian? Why? That's what Paul was saying. We have to adorn the teachings of God in our lives. And he tell them, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God is that unmerited favor God has for sinful man, the world. Yeah, we didn't merit it, but God showed us, all of us, some grace and favor that allowed, notice now, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. And salvation, by definition, is the spiritual deliverance given by God to those that are obedient to the gospel of Christ. No one can have access to their salvation until they have obeyed God. Yeah. The love of God the Father appeared in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus opened the door for one to get to the Father's house or to make heaven their home. Jesus did that. And so Paul went, I think after he had shared with them how they're supposed to behave themselves, how they're supposed to behave themselves, he said, understand this, that God's grace that brings salvation has appeared in the person of Jesus Christ. And then he said, our subject title, teaching us teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present. That's my subject title. Yeah. The word of God is designed to teach us. The word denying means to give up. When you become a Christian, you got to start giving up stuff. Yeah. You can't live as a Christian, faithful to God, and still be doing those things you did when you were in the world. Yeah. 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 I'm not out hanging out in the streets no more like I used to. I'm not out there chasing like I used to. I'm not in the clubs like I used to. I'm not drinking and smoking like I used to. Because I got to deny ungodliness. God, ungodliness is a lack of respect for God. Yeah. Paul said when you was in the world, yeah, you had ungodly behavior. You had worldly lusts. But then he defines that when he says we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. What does that mean, Brother Stroud? Thank you for asking that question. Well, the word soberly means the practice of self-restraint that governs all feelings and desires. I may want to do something. I have feelings I want to do, but the word of God soberly means that I'm able to use the word of God to restrain myself. I can't do everything I want to do. You know, I can't just talk to people the way I want to talk. Why? Because I'm going to control myself. Yeah. As a Christian, you have to show self-restraint. Our young people, when you're out there and you're with your teen friend and they get ready to do things that you have been taught that's not consistent with God, you got to say, when they tell you, say, man, let's go over here, let's go do this, let's go drink and let's go have some fun, you got to show self-restraint. Yeah. You got to say, no, man, you know, me and you tight, and we like that. You know, we run together, but understand this here. Mm-hmm. When you cross that line and start doing things that's not godly, that's where we got to break off. Yeah, yeah, and I hope you understand that. And those of us that have friends, sometimes we have family members that want us to do certain stuff, but again, as a Christian, Paul said to Titus, let them know. As a Christian, you have to show self-restraint. That's where it starts. And not only that, Paul said the word righteously means right conduct, simply doing that which is right. Here, as a Christian, now let me say this. In order to do what's right, I got to know what's right. That's why a worship service, Bible class, all those things are important. Why? Because it allows me, in some cases, as Peter said, to bring to my remembrance. But other times, I'm introduced to things that I didn't know. I didn't know. So in order to live right, I got to know what right is. Yeah. Right conduct is a result of me knowing what's right. Paul said not only they need to live righteously, Paul said they also need to live godly. Godly is having a respect for God that influences our attitudes and our behavior. Yeah. You know, sometimes when I was growing up and you get ready to do something, you say, no, I can't do that in front of my mother. Why? Because you respected her. Man, I can't say that in front of my mother because I was. But well, now in this case, as a Christian, your respect, understand God sees everything.
Yes, He does.
Yeah. So now, Paul was telling them, let those slaves understand that God is watching. Not only are they ought to show self-restraint. Notice what I said now, that influences my attitude toward my employer. even if he treats me bad, even if he treats me wrong, my attitude toward him is I'm going to be right. Yeah, I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to, my attitude toward him is going to be right. I'm not going to wish, you know, sometimes as a Christian, sometimes we wish bad things on people.
Oh, no.
And we call ourselves Christians.
Amen.
Yeah. Or we treat people wrongly and we call ourselves a Christian. Paul said to them, let them understand that they are to live, again, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The teaching of God is that the Christian first learn soberness, then to behave right because of their respect for God.
Amen.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I understand the fact that I got to control Horace Stroud. I got to control my passions and my desires. I also have to understand that I got to start doing what's right. Yeah. Yeah. I got to start doing what's right based on the word of God. I got to start treating people right. And I said it at Highland Heights, we need to start treating people right. There should be no one in this congregation that you have an issue with. If you do, the Lord taught us how to resolve that. Go to him and him alone. Don't get on the phone, call nobody. Go to that person. Brother, can I talk to you for a minute? What you got? Yeah, I just want to say, man, you know, you did this to me the other day and this here, and I just want to bring it to your attention that, you know, you hurt me and I'm just that. And we allow that person to apologize. Yeah. Knowing that the Bible teaches Mark that only God can forgive sin. Yeah. So all you're doing is the person, you're letting the person know, man, I'm letting you go from that. Yeah. But we in this congregation, no one should have an issue with anybody. If you do, you need to go to them. Yeah, go to them. Let me show that in the Bible. Go to, let me show, the Lord give it two ways. Matthew 18, always good to revisit stuff. Yeah, Matthew 18. Yeah. Yeah, and verse 15. Turn your Bible, Matthew 18, 15. Now, notice two ways. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So the first way God says, if I have something where someone has done something to me, God command, these are teachings of God. Go to him and him alone and try to resolve it. Yeah. But then what happens if I know I've done somebody wrong? Matthew chapter 5. Yeah. Matthew 5. In verse number 23, the Bible reads, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembereth that thy brother has aught against you. You remember that. You know what? This brother has something against me. Jesus taught, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. The word reconcile means to settle it. I go to that brother and I say, brother, you know, I remember, you know, you had this against me. And I want to know, I want to come to you and I want to settle this thing. I want to do what the Bible teaches. That's godly living. Walking around here, having aughts against people, trying to do something to people, that's sinful. Your attitude and your actions are not right. How are we going to say we godly when we're not trying to live it? That's what Paul said. It does not matter the situation and circumstances. God equips us with all that we need, Paul told Timothy, all that we need to live godly in this life. Yeah, we should be a loving congregation. Everybody. And have love for everybody. Yeah. Paul said why? He said looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul let Titus know, and we all need to know, that at the end of this life, at the end of this life, I'm looking for that blessed hope. What Paul was telling Titus, let those Christians know, and those that are slaves know, that the reward for living soberly, righteously, and godly is the word hope means expectation of seeing Jesus, our Savior, in peace. Yeah. That's how I put up with stuff. That's why I go with stuff. That's why I don't retaliate on nobody. Yeah, retaliation is a sin. If anybody, somebody do you wrong, if you get back at them, that's sinful. Jesus said in Romans 12, vengeance belongs to me. Let God deal with it. Because sometimes when people do stuff to you, you go further than you need to go. Yeah, that's why. You can't regulate yourself. You can't govern your passion. Why? You did this to my daughter. You did this to my wife. Man, I'm going to get you. And I end up going too far. That's why you see in domestic cases, they start arguing, but they go too far. Let me help us out here. Husband and wife. Yeah. When we have differences, you're going to have them. Yeah. Because two people ain't the same person. They're going to not agree with everything. Yeah, that's going to happen. Yeah, that's going to happen. But what the Lord teaches us in those cases, I'll use myself as an example. Sister Stroud had one. You know, I just say, Stroud, just take me a walk. Yeah, I'm just taking me a walk. Now, you marry one of them hood sisters, they're going to come after you. Yes, they ain't going to let you take no walk. Yeah, I'm just telling you. Because she from the hood, she want to do something. Yeah. But if you got a wife that's respectful, that's trying to live like a Christian, yeah, he says, honey, right now, it's best that we not talk anymore. Yeah. And then, turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me share that because I don't want nobody to say, well, Pastor Bob, what am I supposed to do with this stuff here? Yeah, we get into an argument, and it's going to happen. Yeah. She's going to go out there and do more than she's supposed to do and spend more than she's supposed to spend. Yeah, we got to have a talk about this. Yeah, you sister, wow, you went over you. Yeah, I know, babe, but I was just enjoying myself. Stop enjoying yourself. Yeah, enjoying yourself. But how do I deal with it? Ephesians chapter 4. Because we're going to get hot. We're going to get hot. Amen. The Bible even tells us that in Ephesians 4:26. Now watch how God deals with this stuff while I'm here. Yeah, because I want to go to heaven. Yeah, I got to be sober and righteous and godly. So I got to control myself. But the Lord says in verse 26, watch now how the word soberly comes in. Paul told Ephesians, be ye angry and sin not. So we're going to get mad. We're going to get angry. But it's what you do when you become angry. Yeah. It's what you do when you get mad. Do you start cussing? Start fussing? And, you know, balling up your fists? Yeah. That ain't no Christian behavior. Yeah. What am I supposed to do, Buster? I stay with the text. The Lord says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, that's metaphorically speaking. What he's saying to me and Sister Stroud have it out. And we, you know what I'm saying, we at the point, you know what I'm saying, we ready to go to Knuckle City. We ready to, you know what I'm saying, throw down. Lord, say, Brother Stroud, I see you angry.
Yeah.
Don't do nothing wrong. Don't say nothing wrong. Now, sometimes when you get upset, sometimes just keep your mouth closed. That may be the best answer. Yeah. And then just walk away. But like I said, if she found that she's going to come after you. Yeah. But the Lord says, before the night is over, before the sun go down. Sister, can I talk for a minute? Yes, Brother Stroud. Because see, sometimes when you say, Sister, I'm gonna tell you what you want. Yeah, you know this may not, she may not be ready yet. Yeah. Sister, I'm gonna talk to you, huh? Sister, is it possible that I could talk to you for a minute? When? Later. Yeah, later. But if she's a Christian person, 1 Peter 3 talks about, and I say, Sister, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. See ya. Babe, I want to apologize for what I said and for what I did. Do you accept my apology? Yes, I do. And then, because I've never seen Muhammad Ali go in the ring and fight himself. He always have an opponent. The point I'm making, ain't nobody always right on everything. You know, somebody ain't, but man, no, you ain't 100% right and he's 0% wrong. I mean, you 100% right, he's 0% right. No. Both of us have something to do with it. So what you got to do, you got to own up to your part. Yeah, Sister, I want to apologize for what I said and what I did. I apologize. Then I allow her to say, Brother Stroud, I want to apologize for what I may have said and what I may have did. And then verse 27 comes in. Because if we don't do that, Paul shared with them, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. What are you saying? The word place in that text means opportunity. See, I'm at home and I'm at work. Let me make this real. And me and Sister Stroud have one. And I leave the house and I slam the door and I slam my car door and I back out so fast I almost hit something. I want to get out of that house. And I get to work. And let me make this real. And as Michael Jackson say, that PYT, that pretty young thing, ain't never spoke to you, ain't never said nothing to you. All of a sudden, on that day, when you're angry with your wife, this person comes up to you. Good morning, Mr. Stroud. How you doing today? It's all right. You know, Mr. Stroud, you know, I just want you to know that I've been watching you, and, you know, you ought to be appreciated by everybody. See, she going somewhere just now. You mean appreciated by, yeah, everybody. The way you carry yourself, everybody needs to treat you right. And see, at that point now, that's where Joseph and Genesis come in at. See, that's when self-restraint has to, see, it's got to kick in now. And I say to her, I said, thank you, ma'am, but you have a good day. But can I talk to you? No, you can't. Can I talk to you about? No, you can't. I'm going to work. Because I'm telling us, and sister, it can happen to you. You can be going to the grocery store and you done had a split too, and this guy come in and he looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you looking at him and he looking at you, and you seeing the muscles and his shirt about the, you know, because he gonna wear a shirt two sizes too small because he wants you to see him. Yeah. And so you in the grocery store and you got your cart. See, your sister, y'all thought y'all was free. So you got your little cart and he said, let me reach up there for you. Ma'am, no, no, ma'am. You should not have to reach way up there. Somebody should be helping you. There you go. And it just so happens, when you get ready to go through the line, he gets right behind you. Excuse me, ma'am, I'll pay for all her groceries. You what? And Brother Stroud left out of here slamming the door and talking noise. Ma'am, if you ever need any type of assistance, I want you to know that I'm here. Now, I come to this grocery store every Monday morning. Uh-oh. If Sister Stroud ever leave to go to the grocery store on Monday morning, yeah, she human too. Amen? So I'm just saying to us that we have to learn how to, remember, that's when the word of God comes alive. I understand that I got to control my passions and my desires, even though she may be a pretty young thing, as Michael Jackson said. No, I got to control myself. I got to do what's right. Yeah. Why? Because I want to make heaven my home. Amen? Paul said, I just thought when I go back, I think it's good that we, because we are human and we're going to go through situations and circumstances. And sometimes marriages are not the way they ought to be because sometimes we don't share what's going on in marriage. No, we got to keep it, as young people say, keep it 100. Yeah. Yeah. Ain't no marriage perfect. Yeah, you're going to have issues in them, but we have to use the word of God to resolve them. And Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, do not give the devil an opportunity. All he wants to do is to get in, open the door. Yeah, that's why before we go to bed at night, Sister Stroud, I want to apologize for what I said, babe, I apologize for what I did. And then when you wake up in the morning, that stuff is gone. You don't wake up in the morning and you start that stuff all over again. Yeah. And then Paul told them, as I move to a close, he said, talking about Jesus, he said he gave himself for us. And Brother Allen sung the song this morning, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now watch the text as we close. The word redeem means to release by paying a ransom price. The price for our sins was that somebody had to die and shed blood. Paul reminded Titus that God, Jesus, gave himself for all of us. The reason he did it, that he might pay the price of all our iniquity is lawlessness, all our sins. That he might cleanse us, purify means, unto himself, he said, a peculiar people. Yeah, that word peculiar means God's own possession. Jesus died for us that he might cleanse us and allow God to have a people. Now watch what the people are supposed to do now. Zealous of good works. And I'm saying the congregation, we talked about it in our brothers' meeting yesterday, we want to get this congregation where all of us, notice the end result that Paul said of all what God has done for you, what Jesus did. God gave his son, the son came down here and died. You became a member of the church. Now the Lord said, now that you are a member, be zealous in doing good. The word zealous means you're fulfilled with enthusiasm to do the works of God. We got work to do, Highland Heights. Amen. We need every member in a ministry, and we need you working to whatever level you can. That's what the Lord has blessed me, whatever I can do, however I can serve. Yeah. This was the reason for the death of Christ. The blood shed by Jesus on the cross was the ransom required by God for the sins we have done. And Jesus also suffered. We sang the song on our behalf. So that's what restrains me. That's what helps me live right, because of what Jesus did for me. But when I forget about that, that's when I can behave a way that's not pleasing to God. And then Paul said, as I close this letter, this chapter, he said, these things, what he just told him, he said, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Paul said, Titus, I left you in Crete. Set things in order. I want you to speak these things. I want you to encourage people. And there are going to be times you're going to have to rebuke people. Rebuke means to show somebody that they're doing something wrong. And he said, do it with all authority. What do you mean, Paul? What are you saying to Titus? The authority means the power to give instructions and to make decisions. Yeah. Yeah. You got to lead this congregation. You got to lead these people. You got to teach what's right. You got to encourage them to do right. You got to get with them to do wrong. You have, where does authority come? Authority comes from God. And from the scriptures. Yeah. To God. We have no authority unless it's given from God. Paul told Timothy, I left you now, as I said, my first message from here. Set things in order. And also, as a brother said in the prayer today, we want to ordain elders and have deacons in this congregation. Amen. Yeah, that's my responsibility. Paul said, do that. Then he said, notice what he said here. He said, let no man despise thee. What does that mean, Brother Stroud? Despise thee. That means when some of us sit in the audience and you say to yourself, I don't like the preacher. I don't care for the preacher. Yeah. The word means an emotional response of dislike. Yeah, some people say, well, I don't like him. Yeah. But we got to love everybody. Right. Yeah. So, and he said, that's what Paul told him. He said, and let no man despise you. Yeah. So if there's a despising, it's on your heart, not mine. Because I love everybody here. I don't have no issue with nobody. Yeah. No one. There's no one that can't talk to me. As I said, doors open, you got to talk to me. Yeah, and it ain't got to be on my time. It can be on your time. Yeah, but we can't sit around here and be disliked. That's what Paul said. We can't sit in this congregation and don't like people. For what reason? Why you don't like her? Why you don't care for him? The slave that's got a master that's treating him wrong, Paul still told him, don't dislike your master. Even if he takes you and sell you and keep your wife and your children with him, and he sell you, you still got to do what's right when you sold. Yeah. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. If you're not a Christian this morning, we said in Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church. I want to say to you, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, how do I become a Christian, Brother Stroud? Well, the Bible teaches us five acts. One, You have to hear the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. What's the gospel? We just talked about it there. The gospel is the fact that God loved you enough that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, who came down, lived on this earth, and he died on a cross. He was beaten, and they hung him on a cross, and he died for your sins and mine. That's the first thing you need to know. That's the gospel. But he rose again the third day, never to die again. Yeah. You must believe that. Then you must repent of your sins. What repentance mean, Brother Stroud? That means everything that you've been doing up to this point that's away from God, you now need to turn toward God and start trying to do what's righteous. That's what I've been preaching this morning, about doing righteously. Yeah, so I want to do, okay, so I hear that, Brother Stroud. I understand the gospel of Jesus, about Jesus dying for my sins. I believe that. I want to turn to God. Repentance starts with you turning toward God. Repentance starts in your mind. Okay, what else I need to do, Brother Stroud? Well, you need to come up here, and you need to make the statement that we've been having done over the several weeks. You need to come up here and make the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You make that statement. And then after you make that statement, now you're a candidate to be water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sin. What the Lord says by faith, Colossians 2:12, that the blood of Christ, you're buried in water. And by faith, the blood of Christ is in that water. It cleanses you of every sin you have ever done. And what the Lord does then, we said in Acts 2:42, the Lord would add you to the church of Christ, the only church you can read about in the Bible. There's someone that's subject to the invitation in any way, shape, or form. We bid you to come, and together we sing, stand and sing a verse over him. Thank you very much.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, judgment, unprepared.